I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for April 6, 2015 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Husman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Mishka?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
Mrs. Capalini is absent.
Now, Mrs. Capalini is on family vacation and is excused. We welcome all of you to our council meeting tonight. I understand many of you are from Notre Dame Academy, and one young man from Owens, not necessarily here on classwork. You've all, I think, been handed a copy of the agenda so far. If we get to something that you're interested in or have a question, please raise your hand, and I'll recognize you at the appropriate time. At this point, please join us in our Pledge of Allegiance this evening, led by Mr. Frye.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, based on the public hearings tonight, ordinances have been distributed for Agenda Items 5A and 5B, so let's go ahead and put those on the agenda. Add to 5A, Ordinance 4, 2015. And that's an older ordinance number. It's from when it originally came to council earlier in the year. And then to 5B, add Ordinance 17, 2015. Mrs. Westfall?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council? Seeing none, Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
There must be something on the television later tonight. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda is approved as amended. Agenda Item 5, Report of the Public Hearings, First 5A for Ordinance 2, 2015. I went right past approval of the meeting minutes. I'm sorry. There's something on later tonight. On to, or back to approval of the meeting minutes from our March 16th meeting. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the March 16th, 2015 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from our March 16th, 2015 meeting be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. Now, on to Agenda Item 5, Report of the Public Hearing. First one is Ordinance 4, 2015. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We did have a public hearing this evening, Monday, April 6th at 7 p.m. A quorum of council members were present, and the meeting was focused on Ordinance 4-2015, amending the codified ordinance of Sylvania City, Sylvania City by creating Chapter 1167, requiring charitable donation containers that are placed in open spaces to be registered or subject to a penalty for violation. There was no one here that spoke in favor of or against this legislation. There was some discussion. Mr. Hanem shared some new policy or new legislation that occurred today, but did not feel it would impact our taking action this evening. There was a motion. It was moved and seconded that we advance legislation this evening.
We did add Ordinance 4, 2015. To the agenda, Mr. Hanem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move adoption of Ordinance Number 4-2015. All members of council, having previously received copies, I will read by title only, approving the recommendation of the Sylvania Municipal Plan Commission by amending the codified ordinances of Sylvania, 1979, as amended, by creating Chapter 1167, Charitable Donation Containers, to register donation containers that are placed in open spaces and on private property, and a penalty for violation, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 4, 2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance number 4-2015.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 4-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 4-2015 is approved. There's a couple of things there I'll quickly state for the students in attendance. We can have an ordinance to waive reading these ordinance, or we can have a motion to waive reading the ordinances in their entirety three times, which is required by our charter. But with the internet and with Xerox machines, everybody has a chance to read it ahead of time. So by a simple majority of council, we can waive the requirement to read it a second and third time and also read by title only. Now, there is a second motion that allows council to pass an issue in a single night. That's to pass it as an emergency measure, which takes a supermajority of council or five members to vote positive, and then we can dispense with it tonight rather than bringing it back two more times. Most ordinances pass in that manner. If they're not controversial and unanimous vote, we might as well move ahead with it. Also, Mr. Hanem was asked to read that ordinance. We have 8 standing committees of city council. Mr. Hanem is the chairman of zoning and annexation, and I'd like to go around the table and let each councilman tell you what chair of what committee they're with. So, Mr. Hanem, we'll say it again.
Jason Mishka, Utilities and Environment.
Mary Westfall, I'm president of Sylvania City Council, and in that role, I have 2 committees. I'm chair of finance and chairman of safety committee.
I'm Sandy Hussman, and I'm chair of buildings and grounds.
I'm Mark Fry, and I'm chair of streets.
Mark Lukey, chair of human resources and community relations.
And we have 1 council member absent tonight. Mrs. Capellini is chair of our parks and forestry committee. So when a particular ordinance or issue comes up, it's the responsibility of that committee chairman to review it with their committee members and come to council with a recommendation and then to introduce the legislation. We've got another one for the zoning committee right now, but we'll move back to the president of the council. We'll give a report on the public hearing held for zoning change ZA-1-2015. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This evening, Monday, April 6th, at 7:15, we held a public hearing for Zoning Amendment 1-2015. A quorum of city council members were present. And in this hearing, we welcomed comment on Zoning Amendment 1-2015, a request to change zoning from 5649 West Alexis, 5651 West Alexis, 5655 West Alexis, from M1 zoning light industrial district to B1B zoning modified business and office district. We did have an attorney, Mr. Jonathan Hanna, a representative of the Pisota Family Trust, who spoke a little bit about the zoning recommendation. In fact, the properties that are being requested to have a change in zoning have been functioning more in the modified business and office district for some time, and this is really legislation that brings in line the actual use that we have in process right now with the zoning. So there was a motion and a second to advance legislation to this evening's meeting, and so I think that was the recommendation.
Council added ordinance 17-2015 to the agenda. Mr. Hanem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move adoption of ordinance number 17-2015. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Approving the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission to approve petition for zoning ordinance amendment number ZA-1-2015 on the petition of Jonathan M. Hanna on behalf of the Piscota Family Trust to change the zoning of its property at 5649, 5651, and 5655 West Alexis Road, Sylvania, Ohio, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 17-2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Mr. Mayor, move final passage of ordinance number 17-2015 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 17-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 17-2015 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 6, There are three additional easements for council's acceptance tonight for the Erie Street Waterline Replacement Project. If you recall, you approved one of these 3 weeks ago at our previous meeting. We have three tonight, and there is one left to come in. I don't think it's in controversy. It's just waiting for a signature. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Yes, as you indicated, we have five easements total on the project. We did one at the last meeting, three of them are here tonight. The first easement that's before you is with Mr. and Mrs. Drew Moore. The compensation for the permanent utility easement is $1,466 and $245 for the temporary easement for a total compensation of $1,711. That was our initial offer, and that's what the Moores have agreed to accept, and we would recommend approval.
Mr. Mishka.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 12-2015. All members of council, having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Ordinance number 12-2015. Accepting from Jerome W. Moore and Sandra A. Moore a grant of permanent utility easement and a grant of temporary construction easement for the Erie Street Waterline Replacement Project. Dedicating the easement areas for public purposes as expressed in the easements, providing funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 12-2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance 12-2015.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 12-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 12-2015 is approved. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Second evening for this evening is with Mr. and Mrs. Richard Reimers. The utility amount is $1,897 and the temporary construction easement is $238 for a total compensation of $2,135. This again was our initial offer and the Reimers agreed to accept it and we would recommend approval.
Mr. Mishka.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 13-2015. All members of council, having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Ordinance number 13-2015. Accepting from Richard A. Reimers and Jennifer J. Reimers a grant of permanent utility easement and a grant of temporary construction easement for the Erie Street Waterline Replacement Project. Dedicating the easement areas for public purposes as expressed in the easements, providing funds, therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 13-2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance 13-2015.
Second.
It's moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 13-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 13-2015 is approved. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will say before I give the information on this easement, the fifth and final easement did come in today, so it was signed, so I'll actually have it at the next meeting, and all of the easements will be complete then. So. This easement is with iFlip Properties, LLC. The permanent utility easement is $1,686. Temporary construction easement is $223 for a total payment of $1,909. This again was our initial offer and the property owner agreed to accept it and we would recommend approval.
Mr. Mishka.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 14-2015. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Accept ordinance number 14-2015. Accepting from iFlip Properties, LLC, a grant of permanent utility easement and a grant of temporary construction easement for the Erie Street Waterline Replacement Project. Dedicating the easement areas for public purposes as expressed in the easements, providing funds, therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 14-2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 14-2015.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 14-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 14-2015 is approved. Moving on to agenda item seven. This has to do with a future repaving project and the addition of a right turn lane on King Road heading north at Sylvania Avenue. If you're familiar with that intersection, as I have to, sometimes you have to wait for the person in front of you if you want to make a right turn on red because there is no separate right turn lane. So this is a project that is in our funding cycle for next year, but we need to get started on the engineering with the survey. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, as you indicated, we will be adding a right turn lane to the northbound section of King Road at Sylvania Avenue. When the traffic study was done as part of the CDS project, it showed that a right-hand turn lane was warranted at that intersection. And we put together an application for Ohio Public Works Commission grant funds, actually a combination of grant and 0% loan funds, and that was successful. That'll cover 49% of the project, and we're ready to get started with the surveying work on the project. We'll add a right-hand turn lane on that northbound section of King Road. We'll resurface, remove and resurface the existing asphalt between Sylvania Avenue and Cougar Lane, and then Haroon Road will remove and replace the surface course between Monroe Street and the bridge that crosses Ten Mile Creek. Both projects are scheduled as far as construction for the spring of 2016, but we're ready to get the design work started. We did request proposals from three surveying firms and received proposals from each, and ESA Company of Toledo, Ohio was the lowest price for the work at $9,200, and we would recommend awarding the contract to them for that.
Mr. Mayor, Jeff, Kevin, the resurfacing on King, is that, did you say a replace, a remove and replace, or is that just a resurface?
Remove, replace. It'll be a, what we call a memo fill.
Oh, okay.
Take the top inch and a half off and put an inch and a half back.
We're not going to dig it out.
No.
Okay.
No.
Got it.
I have a question for Kevin, too. That corner is the site of the new Sylvania Branch Library, right? Does this widening have any impact on that project? I guess second part of that is this construction will be going at the
same
time.
There is a new curb cut nearby.
Right. So is there, how does this impact, how do these two projects impact each other?
We're coordinating that with the library now.
All right.
We have a preliminary site plan from the library on where their drive's going to be and that. They will be, as with any development project, there would be a requirement for additional right-of-way at that intersection based on our access management. And so we'll be coordinating all of that with them through that time.
Thank you.
Yep.
This would not have been as practical when the old house was there, that white wood frame house
right.
was there. That house is demolished, and there's room for this right turn lane now.
Do you have to get an easement to put the right turn lane in as you push into that property, or how do you...
We're getting the property.
Oh, okay. So
that's the right-of-way that will come along with the new construction. Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 15-2015. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Ordinance number 15-2015, accepting the proposal of ESA, LLC to provide professional surveying services for the King Road right turn lane and resurfacing project and the Haroon Road Monroe Street to the Ottawa River resurfacing project, appropriating funds therefore in an amount not to exceed $9,200, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 15-2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 15-2015.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 15-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 15-2015 is approved. Going to page 2 of our agenda, we're up to agenda item 8. This is a report from the service director about this summer's resurfacing project, which is a micro resurfacing project. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had initially had on our agenda for this summer to microsurface Erie Street between Monroe and the Eaglewood subdivision. Sections of Erie Street have, I really don't want to say deteriorated because it's really in good shape yet, but when that section of Erie Street was done, all of the widening was done on the north side of the road, and the south side was the existing Erie Street, if you will. If you take a look at it now, that you can tell the difference between the old and the new, and the old is starting to show sometimes that there are some areas where we will have to do some pavement repair and things like that when we do decide to move forward with that project. Because of that, it doesn't really lend itself to microsurfacing being the best candidate. The last two winters have kind of taken its toll. That pavement still has life in it. It's not like it's deteriorated to failure, but it doesn't really lend itself to the microsurfacing process. So what we've done is we've taken the areas. We were also going to do some residential areas with that process. What we've done is we've gone into more neighborhoods. We've taken a look at if are they candidates for the microsurfacing process, and there are. And so what we've done is we've moved those dollars from the Erie Street area into the residential neighborhoods, and we're going to be able to do more residential neighborhood work. We had initially budgeted approximately $340,000 for this work, and as you can see from the letter, we have approximately $192,000 of this work that we're going to do. I do plan on coming back to you at some point with some additional mill and fill type projects in the residential neighborhoods so that we can get as much paving as we can get done this year with the monies that we had budgeted in the capital improvement plan. The last 2 years, if you look back at what we've done the last two, even 3 years, we've been very light on pavement replacement and pavement maintenance. And I think we need to make sure that we don't continue that practice, otherwise it catches up with us. And then we're left with some pretty hefty projects that we have to do. So I think this is a good use of our funds. I think we'll get a lot of residential streets done with the mill and fill type work that we do as well. We'll be able to spread that money even further. And then, of course, Erie Street will come back, but because of the condition that it's in, we probably won't see that for another 5 to 10 years as what we're doing. What the microsurfacing does is it extends the life of that pavement that you put it on. Rather than needing to do something in the 5 to 7 year range, it adds another 7 to 10 years of life onto it. So you don't have to do it. You don't have to replace it as soon. Unfortunately, Erie Street just isn't a real good candidate now. We're starting to see some pavement replacement needs and some rutting that does not receive the microsurfacing process as well. So we're just reallocating, changing direction, changing locations, but I still believe it can be a good use of our funds. So I would recommend that we move forward with the streets that you see listed there with the microsurfacing process. Based on the state term contract pricing that we have from Strausser Construction, we're estimating that to be about $191,248 that we'll spend on that project.
I'd just like to add one thing that Kevin didn't say. This is 3.5 miles of surfacing on our residential streets. That's a big chunk.
Yeah.
And to extend it, it's just going to be more economical than a mill and fill project, which is what we've done the last cycle around the city. I am more comfortable using this process on lighter traveled residential roads and putting it out on heavily traveled Erie Street anyways. though the experts say it would hold up. This is something like putting sealer down on your asphalt driveways, only much heavier and much more stable. It keeps the moisture out of it and extends the wearing life of the wearing surface. Mr. Hingham?
Yeah, have we done this other places?
No.
I don't recall.
It has been done in the area, and Kevin, you can talk about that.
Yeah, it's been done. Perrysburg has used this process for a few years. South Boundary is the most common one, if you're right on that. The Greenbelt Parkway has had this process done to it, and Lucas County Engineers started to use it throughout some of their systems. It's a very fine, it's just a very fine gravel. Rather than the normal inch to inch and a quarter of gravel that you see, the gravel that is in there is only, you know, I think a quarter to 3/8. So it's just a real fine gravel. The asphalt emulsion is still very similar to what you see in a normal asphalt, but it just enables you to put down a much thinner layer, but it bonds together very tightly, and so it protects that.
So it won't peel off?
Correct.
Right. It actually bonds to the existing surface.
Yes.
And because we're doing it sooner, there is no milling required to get rid of the old surface.
Can you do it more than once, or is it just one time and then you have to?
This typically is a one-time process, and that's the other part of the microsurfacing is you want a street that rides smooth as well. There were a couple subdivisions that we took the construction company through, and that is the streets are not rutted, but it doesn't have, if you feel a little bump, you'll feel that when microsurfacing goes back. And, you know, a little bump, when somebody sees new pavement, they expect it to be smooth. They don't expect that little bump. And microsurfacing won't remove that, but it will extend the life of the pavement so that you don't, you just not having to spend the larger mill and fill dollars, you're stretching that out over a longer period of time.
Can we explain what we're doing when we do this?
Sure. Yeah.
To our neighbors.
Yeah, we always send letters to anybody, any project that we do, we send letters to all of the residents along the route, and we can include some information flyers on the process.
Sure. That'd be great. Okay.
And Kevin, you've seen this process laid down, and you're obviously comfortable with it, or
yes.
You wouldn't be recommending it?
No, okay. I wouldn't be recommending it. It's a fairly new process. It's a new product. It's a new procedure. But ODOT is using it, as I indicated, some other communities are using it. I really believe that it's a product that's going to enable cities and townships and everybody to stretch those dollars even further. As the mayor indicated, the amount of mileage that we're getting for $192,000, we'd never come close to
that. Yeah, that's not much money for streets.
No.
We'd like copies of the flyers.
Yep.
Is it a spray on, or is it like asphalt?
Yeah, it's asphalt. It's a machine it's much like a paver machine that you would see. It is a little different just because of the type of material that's used. And it's like in a tank, if you will. But then it's laid down nice and smooth. It's about an inch and a quarter. Inch to an inch and a quarter thick, and there's no rolling of it or anything like that. It's put down and walked away. There is the one issue that you did. It's not an issue. It's just something that you have to manage with it. Is keeping traffic off of it. We do need to track. We will have to coordinate. That will be part of the coordination with the residential areas. Is that we once it's put down, we do need to keep traffic off of it for about an hour to 2 hours. Depending on the temperature of the day when we actually lay it down. So.
The other part of this program is that we are not bidding the work. As you can see from his report and from the legislation, we are accepting ODOT cooperative pricing program. It's like state term contract pricing. It's a more specialized product, and we want to go with a proven company, and we do not need to bid it by taking those pre-bid numbers with the state of Ohio. With that, you do have in your council packets Ordinance 16-2015, authorizing us to enter an agreement with the contractor, Strasser Construction. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce Ordinance Number 16-2015, all members of council previously receiving copies. I would like to read by title only. Ordinance number 16-2015, authorizing the mayor and director of finance of the city of Sylvania, Ohio, to enter into an agreement with Strasser Construction, Inc. for the 2015 micro-surfacing project at a cost not to exceed $191,248, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 16-2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor, answer aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 16-2015.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Mr. Hanum.
Yeah. I'd like to have Kevin report back to us on how this, on our experience with this at the, after we do it. Is that, I just want to, I'm excited when this is something, you know, I think this is an important development, and I commend the administration for finding out about it and implementing it. I mean, I think one of the things I am proud of about our city is the condition of our roads and streets. We take good care of our roads and streets. I think our neighbors appreciate that. So after we do this project, I'd love to have a report back from you on how.
I think it'll be more telling. We'll do your initial report, but it'll be more telling in 5 or 6 years.
Right.
We will keep track of it.
Yeah.
I'm also concerned about the application. When you roll standard asphalt, you can drive right on it right away. This isn't rolled, so we got to keep people off of it, especially people turning into their driveways when it'll still slide. And that'll take more coordination with the contractors to do that and the residents.
I think it's important we hear back, particularly since we haven't done it before. Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 16-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 16-2015 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 9. You have a recommendation from the service director to increase the front foot assessment for our ditch and drain maintenance program. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our ditch and drain maintenance assessment has been the same fee. It's been 35 cents per benefit front foot now since 2008. And it generates approximately $242,600 per year. Costs, obviously, in that time have gone up. There have been years where the work that we've had to do in there, we've had to utilize other funds in order to get that accomplished. And we're finding that fee just is not sufficient in order to keep up with the work and the additional work that we should be doing out of that fund. I am requesting that we increase that fee from 35 cents a front foot to 40 cents a front foot. That would generate an additional $35,000 in that fund on an annual basis. If you take a look at the average frontage for residential lots in the city, the average frontage is $78. So if you take a look at increasing that by 5 cents, that's an annual increase.
78 feet.
Yes, what did I say?
Dollars.
Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, the average frontage for a residential lot in the city is 78 feet. That 5 cent increase would amount to an annual increase of $3.90 to the ditch and sewer maintenance contract assessment. And while I understand that nobody likes increasing or anything of that nature, in 6 years, I do believe that we're due to be able to keep up and continue to do the work that we need to do. So I have the request before you.
This is an item I think I would recommend referring to the utility committee for their review. You can study at that time and discuss with Mr. Aller what the funds are used for specifically. It's not a large assessment on properties, but it does keep our ditches and drains flowing freely. You've all heard the problems with 10 Mile Creek out in the township areas. They do not assess for it in the township or in the county, and they get around to it when they get around to it. And this stops a lot of flooding problems within our city limits, and I do recommend we keep this program strong. Mr. Mishka, this is up to you to decide what to do with it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd move that we refer this to the Utilities Committee meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to refer this increase in the front foot assessment for a ditch drains and maintenance agreement assessment program to the Utility Committee. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And I would request that you have your committee meeting before the next council meeting in 2 weeks. This is an item that we do need to get into the county.
Can we schedule it?
To get on our property tax bills. So why don't you try to schedule it now? I just looked it up. The members of the committee are Mr. Fry, Mrs. Hussman, and Mrs. Westfall.
Unless we have, and what was the date of the next?
2 weeks from tonight, which would be the 20th. There is a public hearing at 7:15 on the 20th. You could schedule it before that.
7 or o'clock?
If you think it's non-controversial, that's probably enough time.
Okay, how about 7 o'clock on the 20th for the Utilities Committee meeting?
Is it all right with the committee members?
It's fine. That's fine with me, with one proviso. If we could have a little more information in preparation for the meeting in regards to funds and balances and whatever the circumstances are up front to review.
Mr. Allard has done that work, and I'm sure that it's available. We'll get it out to that committee members. Yep.
Do we think that that time is enough, or should we go a little bit sooner?
From the administration standpoint, I think this is not controversial.
Okay. So set by 7 o'clock then.
All right. We'll have the clerk post that meeting time. Agenda item 10 is an update for you concerning the Phase 2 River Trail alignment options across the Flower Hospital property. If you recall, they objected to us running too close behind their hospice and their Gerlich Center properties, and we've taken a look at some different alignments to go out in the floodplain with an elevated trail, and we've looked at the prices for the amount of elevated trail plus for different construction methods of the trail, different construction materials. We have worked with Flower Hospital and the new president over there to get this as short as we can elevated, because it's so much more expensive to build it elevated than to build it on solid ground. And we have some good options here that I would like the service director to review with you at this time. You all have a copy of it in your council packets.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first page that you have, there are other routes that we've negotiated, if you will, with Flower Hospital. Alternative C is the one that has been considered the primary route. Our consultant did take a look at alternative route C1. It obviously makes for less turns and bends and winds. However, that does keep us out in the floodplain longer, which of course increases the cost because it requires more elevated walkway. So the second page that you have there is a look at the materials that we've considered for construction of that elevated walkway. The existing elevated walkway that's behind the hotel is there on the left, concrete deck with steel rails. As you can tell, that's the most expensive option. We've also taken a look at two other material options, composite deck with steel rails and wood deck with steel rails. As we get to the back, you'll notice that we're at this point we are proceeding and recommending that we move forward with material option B, the composite deck and steel rails. The wood deck, we feel that the cons of a less desirable rideability with those that use it for bike traffic, as well as the increased maintenance that it would bring, are not the initial savings in installation does not make up for that with what we would have in maintenance, and we don't feel that the public would be as happy with that either as an end product. So we will be recommending that we move forward with the composite deck and steel rails. The third page that you have there is an alternate bridge design. The bridge on the left is the existing bridge that goes across 10 Mile Creek there in the SOMO district as part of phase one. For phase two, we are recommending that we go with a weather steel bridge with concrete deck. It does, as you can see, it reduces the cost by about $33,000, $34,000. So we're recommending that we modify the design of the bridge a little bit for that. The next page there is just an overhead of the proposed Route C that we're recommending. It shows that we plan on adding some vegetation in there around the hospice, the pond around the hospice center, and also to shield the hospice center from the walk. The next page that you have is a rendering, thank you, Mr. Lupi. A rendering of what the view would be if you're on the river trail looking towards the hospice center as it sets today with no vegetation or anything added. And you can see that you would have direct line of sight there. The next page shows what that view would be, and you'll see that the vegetation and everything that we plan on putting there removes that direct line of sight and keeps the river trail isolated and secluded, if you will. More nature oriented.
The rendering is a little misleading there, in that you're actually, where those trees are planted is actually the backslope, the downslope of their dike that
That's
holds
right.
their pond there. And when you stand on the site, it seems like you're secluded, but when you're raised up on top of the platform, it's less secluded than if you're down on ground level.
The next page is if you're standing at the hospice center and looking towards the trail with no vegetation, basically as it exists today. And then the next page shows what it will look like when that vegetation is installed and comes to maturity. And you can see that you can hardly see the river trail at all in that instance. So that's been a concern of Flower Hospital. They've wanted that direct line of sight to be addressed, and we believe that we'll be able to do that with the vegetation that we put in that area. And then finally, the last page is the cost summaries. We took a look at all of the material options, the route options, and basically the middle column, if you will, alternate for material option B, alternate bridge design, Route C, with a total of $2,332,771. That's the material option and the route that we're recommending to move forward with on the project, and that would be the total cost, engineering, and everything combined. If you look all the way to the left, the original design, when we had it all up on the surface and had no elevated walkway other than the bridge crossing, the original project was a little over $1.5 million. So the cost difference that we're looking at between the two is about $800,000.
Kevin, if I may, it might be helpful for you to remind us what kind of grant funding we can expect for this project, because the $2.3 million is one thing, but we do have some substantial relief from some grants that are in the pipeline. Am I right about that?
You certainly are.
Correct. We have $200,000 in ODOT TIP funding, Transportation Improvement Program funding. We have $400,000 that the state legislature has provided to us. And we fully anticipate, because of funding cycles, we won't know finally until next year, but we fully anticipate receiving the NatureWorks grant, which we received on phase one, we would fully anticipate receiving that on phase two, and that would be $500,000. So we have approximately $1.1 million total in grant funding, assuming that we receive what we anticipate to.
Jeff, can you tell us what the functional life experiences, differences between the concrete and the composite?
The concrete, obviously, you'll get a longer life with less maintenance than you would with the composite deck. However, we just felt that the cost difference between the two made that a little more prohibitive. The composite decking will hold up well as long as we maintain it pay attention to it. And we just felt that the cost difference between the concrete and the composite decking was an even higher cost to try to cover than going with the composite deck.
It's about another $250,000.
It's a big difference. And we've actually had very good luck and experience with the composite deck for the elevated walkways we have in Haroon Park. I think it's an appropriate way to go. It's, for the most part, recycled materials, and it's going to do less damage to the wetlands at the same time because we don't get concrete trucks in there with all that material.
Constructability with the concrete was a concern because if you were out there in that area, it's wet. If you're out there in boots, you sink. As a 200-pound man with boots sinking down, you can imagine what a 10-ton plus concrete truck. So you either have to set up conveying type systems, which obviously is expensive, and constructability was a concern with the concrete deck as well.
So I have a couple of comments on the material, the composite material. As I went through these, I thought through these. The wood, for a couple of reasons, didn't seem appealing to me. The first thing that came to mind as someone who's done this before is when it frosts over in the fall, it gets really slick. As someone who rides, I've slipped on frosted wood before. Do we know if the composite deck behaves the same way as that, or does it stay dry, or does it catch frost like that?
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. I would think that it would stay drier because it won't absorb the moisture as much as what.
Okay. What about I know the Parks Trail, the University Parks Trail, is frequented by people who rollerblade. Does the composite deck with the seams in there, will that cause a problem for that? Do we think, or so the seams will be real tight, or?
Yes. They'll be tight.
The advantage is that the composite deck does not shrink, and those joints don't open up the way they do in a pressure treated deck.
Okay.
The pressure treated deck will warp. Even if you hold it down with lots of screws, it's still going to warp, and it definitely shrinks when it's opening up those joints. Composite deck, we can lay it close, consistent thickness from going forward because they don't shrink. So I think it is better.
Okay.
It is not as smooth as a concrete deck, though. There's no doubt about that.
And I'm kind of, personally, I kind of favor the concrete deck because we're calling it a bike trail and not a walk. Or is it a walkway or a bike trail? I understand the cost differences are there, right?
Yeah, we're designing with the width for a bike trail.
I just wanted to comment on my experience in that area, so thanks.
Yeah, I'm a rollerblader, and I got to tell you, I'm concerned. I would love to see an example of this. Do we see an example of the composite with the composite deck?
Isn't there one in Wildwood Park, east of the Manor House?
The one in Wildwood, I think, is under the bridge, the covered bridge.
No.
The covered.
This is the long approach to the east, out along Central Avenue. It's parallel to Central Avenue. I haven't walked it since last year, but I think that one is.
Remember the wooden one in Wildwood.
And the wooden one goes lengthwise, too, so the seams are side to side.
Well, you don't have to make a choice tonight. We're back reporting to you.
Yeah.
We wanted you to know that we're going to take these, the administration's going to take these options and these costs to Flower Hospital and let them know that they've cost us at least $800,000 more, maybe a million plus more. Begin conversations again with them.
Right, and you know, if I could, Mr. Mayor, I just want to remind our longer-serving members of council and maybe update the newer members of council about the process here. We have been engaged with Flower for, I think, now 3 years to try to find an appropriate route. It's been that long, I think, since Phase One was completed. And the Economic Development Subcommittee at some point delegated Mrs. Westfall and myself and Mrs. Capellini to sort of be the on-site representatives of council. And I think we've probably spent, along with the mayor and his staff, and Mrs. Brining, when she joined the party, probably a half dozen times out on that site, maybe more, looking at various options. I think it's fair to say that the current Flower administration and Prometic administration have been tough but fair and engaged in trying to find a solution for us on this. Good news, I think, that Kevin didn't report because it's not on the pages, is that we at one point were looking at a option that would have required us to re-engineer the bridge, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, and also an elevated path.
Right. 50% substantially more expensive options. So I think the fact that we got to this resolution, and it required, I remember the Prometica people were literally walking around, you know, placing stakes again, and then walking up the hill to see if the sight lines were appropriate. But we got to a point where I think this is a very, it minimizes the impact on the experience, on the rider and walker experience. And I think it is probably the most cost-effective option that we possibly can get to. We have had, I think it's fair to say, Mary, some early conversations, preliminary conversations with Prometica. I think they probably understand that they have impacted the cost to some degree, than making these requests, and they have not rejected the notion of perhaps helping with some of the funding here. So that's maybe the next challenge for us. But I give the staff and the mayor a lot of credit for sticking with this and getting this piece done. It might be helpful, because this was the best news, if Kevin walks us through the timeline on this, because actually the end is in sight, if we're willing to be patient. So Kevin, maybe, or the mayor, could talk a little bit about the timing of all of this.
I'll let Kevin do that, but we have established the start of construction date, yes.
Next week, we will be having our field review meeting with ODOT. The funding that we have is going to require a very specific sequence of when things happen and how they happen and who does them and all kinds of good rules that ODOT has. So April 14th, we will be doing our field review meeting with ODOT. And that will really be the kickoff and the jump start, if you will, of everything from that point on. ODOT will establish the schedule at that point and tell us when we have to have certain things done, and do we have to do certain things, or some environmental studies that sometimes you have to do with projects and other times you don't have to do. So they'll let us know the full scale of what they're expecting us to do for this project. We would anticipate being ready to move forward the next funding cycle for the NatureWorks grant that's made by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources requires that the application be submitted by February of each year, the end of February of each year. So we would anticipate that being submitted by the end of February. We would anticipate the plans being complete and ready to go to be at 95% completion. They call it stage three, is what it's actually called with ODOT. And that they would be to that point by the end of February for that grant application. And then we would hear on that grant during the month of June, and it would be our full intention to be ready to move forward and have a project ready to advertise and award in July, advertise it in July and award it in August, and for construction to begin, you know, essentially immediately after that. So construction would be during the 2016-2017 years, and the project would be complete summer of 2017. Obviously, winters around here, you know, are you can't plan on working through them. We've been able to during some years, but typically you don't plan on being able to do anything during those months. So summer of 2017 would be when we would anticipate completion of the project, with construction beginning sometime late 2016.
Kevin, as a architect and designer, I sometimes moan when a owner asks the question I'm about to ask. Is it practical to have JJR set up an alternate to bid the concrete deck at the same time? It takes more more sections through it, and probably a whole second set of foundations, but that's something we ought to talk about. If council is interested in the concrete deck, they would be able to make the decision at the best time by having prices, hard firm prices in front of them both directions, unless we're pretty confident that the prices are close to where we expect them. I'm sure they're conservative prices, so we can stay under them. But if we get good pricing, council might want the option to go to the concrete deck.
We could certainly research it. It would add to the design costs.
Sure, well.
Because it would have to basically have them design both bridges, or both elevated walkways, rather. So it would add a little bit to the design costs.
More than a little.
We would also have to take a look. Because ODOT is up on a scale basis, they're such a small part of this project, I don't think, believe it would be an issue, but ODOT also has to approve you to bid alternate materials. Because they're $200,000 of a roughly $2 million project, I don't believe that would be an issue. I believe we'd be able to get that approved. But that is, ODOT does have a say in that.
I mean, would that... I wonder if it wouldn't be beneficial for us before we incurred that design cost, for those of us with questions, to take a look at this composite, what we're talking about.
Kevin, could you?
I'm just not familiar with it.
I'll
try to find the site that has it. I'm not familiar around here. Unfortunately, I'm embarrassed to say that I'm not a Metro Parks. Frequent Metro Parks visitor or trail user, so I'll make some phone calls and find something.
I've seen composite decks, mm-hmm. and that would not be an ideal rollerblading surface. And I hope I didn't scare anybody.
And I wouldn't use our composite deck walkways. I wouldn't use our composite deck walkways in a room park as an example either. Not comparable to what the construction here would be.
Yeah.
Because they're on a wood frame there, and the wood's going to move.
Right.
Kevin, the only other question I have, and I want to ask this kind of a sense of full disclosure in terms of the discussion we've had, is this part that we're focusing on tonight is really just a portion of Phase 2, right? The river trail will continue on under U.S. 23 along the Sylvania Country Club, ends up on Monroe Street behind the former Burger King restaurant. As we've gone through 3 years now in planning this, do we have to go back and revisit some of the easements that we have in place?
We have to start from scratch.
So that's going to be another factor the council will be dealing with as we move forward, right?
That's correct. Those easements are typically only good for a year. They've long since expired, and we don't want to start them too early now.
Right. Okay.
And I'll say I'm perfectly comfortable with trail alignment C. I mean, that's
yeah.
And ProMedica's happy with that.
I don't know if they signed off, but verbally they certainly have. And so it's taken a long time to get to this point, but
right.
I think we're good to go, right?
I have all people should know the answer to this, but just as a point of clarification, Kevin, what, how far does this, are you suggesting this does not include the under the bridge component? This is just across the flower property, or is this all the way?
No, it's the whole project.
Oh, it's the whole project?
It's the whole project.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, the only piece I was suggesting, the only piece that I think is undone is the easement piece.
I understand that.
Right. Okay, again, I want to thank the mayor, somebody who's watched this close at hand, the mayor and the staff, slogging around out there in all kinds of weather, really being right in front of the whole discussions with ProMedica. I think it's turned out very well.
With the new Flower Hospital president, we began to make more progress. He's very cooperative. All right, that's an update. No action is needed tonight. I appreciate your input. We'll take a look at it, and again, we're going to share these documents, these plans with Flower Hospital later this week. And Josh mentioned that we need funding from them, but not go into deep negotiations yet.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. That takes us to agenda item 11, committee reports. Any committee chairman have additional reports to make at this time? Or committee referrals? Hearing none, I direct your attention to information item A. You'll see that through the first quarter of the year, our income tax receipts are down 0.62% from where they were last year. That is not good news. We have budgeted, I think, 3.5% or 4%?
2.5%.
2.5%. So we are really over 3% behind where we had budgeted. It has gotten better each month, and hopefully it will continue to do so. The sooner that some of these new facilities can open up in town that ProMedica and others are working on, the better. We do have some empty commercial sites around town. We will keep our eyes on that. I also take you to agenda item E. And Chief, I'm sure you're aware of this one, but we have a flyer here or information from Department of Commerce, Division of Liquor Control, saying that every liquor permit in town is going to expire here shortly. And if there's some place that's a problem in town because they have a liquor permit, now is the time to address it. I'm not sure that we have any that do that, but you need to have input on that, not necessarily tonight. Our council members, if you get complaints about a particular establishment, let us know. I'd also like to remember all the elected officials sitting at the table here with me that your ethics reports are due next week, if you haven't already filed it. $20 or $25, something like that. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I also note that the report of the Sylvania Municipal Court is included in this, and it's a complete report and explains how we spend our $1 million from the city of Sylvania for the honor of having a court in our community. And this continues to be an issue that we ought to visit with our legislature. The funding of this municipal court and the way we do this is archaic in light of the nature of the townships that are also served by this court. And this is unfair to our residents, and we need to continue to talk to our legislators about fixing this.
We have talked with our local representatives and senators for well over a decade about this. Mrs. Sears told me that she was trying to add a correction to this as a rider to a bill. However, when I saw her a couple of weeks ago, I failed to bring it up to her, and she did not bring it up to me. So I will have to contact her and see if there's a fix in the works or not. That is a difficult thing to accomplish because there are not many municipal courts in the position we are, where the municipality only accounts for about 20% of the court usage. That's the problem.
And Mr. Mayor, I know you've been diligent on this, and I just didn't want to miss an opportunity to thank you for your diligence
anybody
and remind
that has,
us that we need to stay on it.
Anybody else that has contact with Randy Gardner or Barbara Sears, please bring this up. All right. Seeing no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until our next regularly scheduled meeting on April 20th, 2015, in these council chambers. Thank you all for coming tonight.